Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
That's right. It's time for Up and Country. Welcome into episode 6. I'm Ike Everard, and today joining me is Sarah Wickett. Sarah is going to be my first artist out of Canada to join the podcast, and I think that the Canadian country scene is so cool because it really, she'll talk about this, it feels like more of a community than Nashville. It feels like somewhere where everyone is supportive. People are breaking out left and right. Some of the best music in country today is coming out of Canada. So she's really come up lately. She took a break. She recorded music in college, and now she's released a couple singles. She'll talk about her EP, which is coming out next January. It was slated for the fall, but due to the coronavirus, has been pushed back, which is probably a good decision. Make sure it's all right and ready to go. But Sarah has a cool story. She grew up in a small town and then went to Toronto for college. She's actually a journalism student like myself. So, you know, definitely always fun to find like-minded people, I guess. And she's been living up at the lake in Beaverton, Ontario for the past couple months with her parents and writing songs and making driftwood art. So here it is, my conversation with Sarah Wickett. Hey, Sarah, this is Ike from Up and Country.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, good. How's Canada? Are you in Canada right now?
Yeah, everything's good here. It's a nice sunny day.
Yeah, it seems
How about you? How's there?
Good, I'm in Seattle, so not too far.
Okay.
Yeah, growing up I used to go to Vancouver a lot, so.
Nice, yeah, it's nice and close.
Yeah, so I want to hear about your journey, because you recorded a lot of music a couple of years ago. And that was back when you were in college, right?
Yeah.
And then you took a break, and now you're getting back into it.
Yes. So, yeah, when I was recording back in college, I guess we'll just start right at the beginning. I grew up in a very small town called Beaverton, which is in Ontario, Canada. And I kind of grew up in a musical family, and I was always singing, and then really wanted to kind of try to pursue it. So I went to college in Toronto, and I was going to school for journalism, and I happened to meet a lot of musical people. So I was in a big city full of musical people, and I started writing and working with a producer. It was more just for fun back then, I think, now that I am looking back at everything. But I definitely could always see music being the end goal.
Right.
So after college, I was still kind of pushing the older music. And then I just kind of realized I really did want to try to take it more seriously. So I took a year off, so 2 years, I think it's been, and just kind of really started to work on my songwriting and figure out what I wanted to say as an artist, what I wanted my sound to be. And then I think I found that. And now here I am releasing music that I'm really proud of, the songwriting and the sound. And
Yeah, I mean, those older songs kind of have a Taylor Swift vibe to me. I don't know what it is. But
yeah.
maybe it's just the album covers. I don't know. But when I like see it, it kind of feels that way.
Yeah, I've gotten that a lot.
Yeah, but the new stuff is like really like it feels heartfelt and it feels, you know, it's very strong. And especially Did It For Me is like,
yeah.
What went into like Did It For Me? Because that's such like a bold kind of really cool song.
Yeah, thank you. So the inspiration behind that was I was kind of in a tough situation, also part of the reason why I took so long to kind of put new music out. I was working with some people, and again, I just was being very strict on what I wanted because I knew that this music had to be, like, amazing. Because it had been so long since I'd actually put anything out. And I just, like, wasn't really loving what we were doing. So I was kind of just put in a tough situation where I had to make some choices. And it was better for me in the long run, but kind of burnt some bridges. So that's kind of where the song came from. I started working with someone else, and we wrote this song about that situation, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely hear the passion in it. I'm curious, though, what it was like going from your small town to Toronto, which is a huge city. What was the transition like?
It was interesting. I was going to school with a lot of people that were kind of commuting, and so they were living all over the city, so I was kind of able to see a lot of it with them and make friends pretty easily. But I mean, honestly, it was scary. Growing up in a small town, you're kind of, you know, secluded and not exposed to a ton of things, and kind of going from one extreme to another is super eye-opening, but all great experiences, and I'm so glad that I moved to the city to be able to experience new things and new people and learn about life, and it's been great. And it's also great to come back to to Beaverton, which that's where I am right now, away from COVID. But yeah, it's really nice. My parents still live here, and I'm able to come back and appreciate the slowdown around here.
Yeah, I mean, and you were a journalism student, which I think is cool because I'm a journalism student. What did you want to do journalism? Like, if music didn't work out, was that the plan?
I always thought, like, being a journalist, if I wanted to go into entertainment, obviously. So I figured I could sort of worm my music in there somehow.
Yeah.
Music was always the goal, but I'm sure, as you know, the industry is very competitive, and I wasn't as passionate about it just because the program I was in, it was very hard news-based. Mm-hmm. And again, I wanted to kind of go more into entertainment. But I loved the program, and I had so much fun, and I learned a lot that really benefited my music career as well. And now I know your side of things and how to do interviews and all that stuff. So
yeah, there's definitely a lot of good knowledge that you can gain from that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what do you think is the difference now coming up in Canada? Because the Canadian country scene, I mean, is really well off. There's a lot of great artists, but I feel like sometimes it gets overlooked in America. So what's different about coming up there versus in Nashville or somewhere?
I feel like Nashville is always kind of the goal for every artist.
Yeah.
Even here, but I don't know. I don't know what it's like coming up in America, but here it just feels like one big community, and I feel like everyone kind of knows a little bit about everyone, whether it just be like, oh, I saw her, or I listened to a little bit of her song, or I saw her on this huge stage kind of thing. We all kind of know of each other and are all supporting each other and are all trying to make it, whether you have a song on the radio that has a million streams or you're just kind of starting out. We're all working together. And especially right now during COVID, where we're not performing, we've really kind of come together as a community, and we've been doing lots of fundraising songs together and all that. And it's been really nice.
Yeah, that's cool. Cause I think from people I've talked to, like in Nashville, it has a little bit of that community, and you definitely know people, but I think people are a little bit more competitive because, you know, you see a little bit less opportunity. There's a lot more traffic in that area. So who are some people that in Canada that you've really clicked with and who've influenced you and mentored you and helped?
I really look up to Megan Patrick, Madeline Merlot. I know they've both moved to Nashville since coming up in Canada, but they're probably the two. I mean, there's so many great Canadian female country artists.
Yeah.
Here, but they're I don't know if you know Megan Patrick, but she kind of did it for me, the whole vibe. She's very awesome and rockin' country. And then Madeline Merlot is more of kind of poppy soul, and I feel like I have a little bit of each of their vibes in my music. So and they both, Megan Patrick actually came from a town that's like 20 minutes from Beaverton, so really look up there.
Do you think it's different coming up as a woman in Canada versus in Nashville? Because I know it's been tough in Nashville lately to break through as a female country artist. I don't know if it's that way in Canada or not.
I haven't felt that way really. I know, I think overall men do get played more on radio, and that was a discussion a few months ago. Kind of a little bit of controversy over that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's probably the same here. I don't really notice it as much because I follow all of the Canadian country girls, and like I think they're doing just as well, if not better than the men. And yeah, I think at least I see everyone as equal.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that's how it should be. And I think that I see more female artists coming out of Canada for whatever reason. So,
Yeah,
yeah, I
there's a
wonder.
lot.
Yeah, they're really, and it's all really, really great music. So it's really cool to see. You have an EP coming out in the fall now, right?
I do, but we actually have pushed the date, just because of everything that's going
Okay,
on.
yeah.
So I think it's going to be coming out in January now,
Okay.
which gives us more time to make things even better than they're going to be. So yeah, we still have some recording to do. I'm going to be doing that at the end of the month.
Awesome.
And we're going to finish it up probably in July. And then I'm releasing another song in July as well.
Nice. Any sneak peeks? Any sneak peeks?
Sorry, you just cut out.
Oh, I said any sneak peeks.
Oh, I can send you one.
That might be kind of cool. Pop it in here.
Yeah, for sure. I can for sure. It's called What We Do, and it's kind of like a sexy love song, 'cause I feel like females should get to talk about that stuff too. And yeah, it's
Nice.
gonna be good.
Who have you been working on the EP with?
So the producer I have is Mark Shore. So he's worked with artists, lots of up and coming artists like Eric Etheridge, David Gore James. They're just all really great Canadian artists. And then I've done a couple co-writes with one of my good friends, Robin Ottolini. She's an amazing, amazing writer. She's probably gonna blow up soon. So with her, and then I also collaborated with another songwriter. His name's Jesse Slack, and yeah, and then the rest of the songs are just me writing them.
Yeah, so how have you gone about like making those connections and getting those co-writes and things like that?
That's why social media and online stuff is so great, because you're able to just send a quick DM and get some stuff going. So yeah, I mean, with Robin, she had put out some songs, and she's from a small town close to me as well, and she was working with some of the people that I had previously been working with. We just kind of knew of each other. As I was mentioning before, we all kind of know of each other. And the producer that I started working with actually suggested that we write together. So she wrote Did It For Me with me, and she also wrote Friday Night In with me as well.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome. No, the social media scene definitely helps out a lot of, a lot of people with that. Have you been doing Zoom writes and stuff like that over the past couple months?
I have, yeah, and that's been really great too. I mean, obviously the pandemic has halted performing and getting to see each other in person, but I'm really grateful that we've been able to kind of still work online and do live shows online, and there's been some funding for that stuff, which is nice.
Yeah, and I think it's honestly a great opportunity to really build something virtually because people are at home and they're always looking for something to be entertained by.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. I mean, you're reaching fans that wouldn't necessarily be able to come to your live shows too, so it's all good.
Yeah, no, it really is. So, do you think that like writing over Zoom, does it change your process at all?
Not really. I mean, I think there is something to be said about actually getting together with someone and writing and filling each other out. I think a first-time write over Zoom can be kind of weird, but I don't think it's really changed my process that much.
Yeah, it's all pretty much, same concepts, right?
Yeah.
So how many songs would you say you've written over quarantine? And do you think it's, more than normal?
I think because I'm working on an EP, it's definitely more than normal.
Yeah.
It's been really nice to have all this free time to just write. But it can also be a bad thing because I feel like I have so much time. So you just procrastinate so much, and then by the end of the day, you get nothing done.
But, I feel that.
I've probably, during quarantine, I think I've probably wrote maybe 10 songs. It doesn't seem like a lot, but some songs take hours to write, and some songs just come out in an hour. So
How about the two that are out now, Did It For Me and Friday Night In? How were those to write?
They were great. We started those back in December, actually, and writing both of them with Robin. She came over here, and I basically just told her what I wanted the song to be and kind of gave her some examples of music and stuff, and had the lyrics already, and we kind of just worked through them together and came out with the song. It was really easy, and it only took us a couple hours for that one. And then I loved her writing style so much, I wanted her to write Friday Night In with me as well. And Friday Night In is, I think, lyrically so good. I love that song.
Yeah, it really is. So I want to go back to your childhood. What was, the first song you wrote? And, what were your parents' reaction to you doing music?
I actually didn't start writing until, seriously writing songs until I got to college.
Okay.
I was always kind of writing in my diary and going into journalism. I obviously love to write, and English was my subject.
Yep.
So I was always kind of writing about love and stuff in that way, but not necessarily in song form. So my parents were always very supportive. They put me into vocal lessons when I was young, and then I was just working on covers then. But when I got to college, I started working with a producer, and him and I wrote my first song, Do You Miss Me? My parents were so excited. I was really happy, and I had never even been in a studio before. So recording that was insanely exciting, and I had never felt anything like that before. And as soon as I recorded it and then heard the finished product, I was like, yeah, this is what I need to be doing.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, the legend goes Luke Combs didn't pick up a guitar until college, so I guess you're in good company there.
Yeah.
But you always, it's interesting, the decision to start music in college, because I have a couple of friends who have started singing in college, and I don't know what it is, about that environment, but it kind of fosters that creativity.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that I wanted to be a singer long before college. I mean, I was uploading YouTube videos and stuff in high school, which got quite a bit of attention, so I think that also fueled the fire as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just covers and stuff. It was never really original music. And I just felt like I didn't really know how or if I could even write or do that. And then working with this producer, he kind of showed me that, you can do this. And I guess college, you're kind of growing up and you're realizing that you have confidence and you have courage. And if you want to do something, just go for it. So
yeah.
I already moved to the city, and I'm like, might as well just do this because there's a million opportunities here that I didn't have back in Beaverton.
That's very true. So when you were releasing covers in high school then on YouTube, did kids from your school know about them? And were you kind of known as someone who sang covers on YouTube?
Yeah. They weren't very nice about it. But I loved making covers, and I would even try to produce some of them on GarageBand. And I just always kind of loved that stuff. And I was always really creative, and even if it wasn't good, I would still put it out there just because I had so much fun doing it and would spend hours and hours just creating stuff. And, girls girls can be mean. And yeah. I was from a small town, went to high school in Aurelia, which is a bigger city, a smaller city than Toronto, but bigger than Beaverton. And so I don't know why they were mean to me, but I wasn't even in the choir in high school because I didn't want to be bullied.
Oh, wow.
I did eventually in grade 11 and 12 start doing some coffee houses and like talent shows where people were still mean, but I was like, I want to do this.
So. Yeah, and if you're out there performing, like you're kind of above that at that point, I feel like. I don't know, like, yeah. you know, once you commit to it on that level, it's kind of like, whatever they say isn't going to matter that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to realize that in high school when
Definitely.
You care about what everyone thinks, and yeah, I don't know, looking back now, I'm just like, girls are so mean, like, how are girls so mean?
Yeah, I mean, high school's always, you know. It's like
but
that.
None of that matters now.
No. Yeah. And I mean, did it for me, kind of. You could apply it into that context too. Like, you were doing all that for yourself. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, not for them. So I saw that you did some driftwood art recently on your Facebook. That looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was fun. I've been vlogging a lot and trying to think of different ideas. My parents live on a lake up here in Beaverton, so there's lots of driftwood, and I like art and stuff, not drawing. I'm really terrible at drawing, but creating little DIY stuff is fun. And I put it up in my apartment, and it looks really good, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, isn't it weird that there's, like, such a disconnect between people who can, like, do most types of art and then drawing? It seems like such... Oh, it's so weird.
I know.
So you're never going to draw an EP cover or an album cover?
Absolutely not.
maybe a single someday?
Yeah. That would be really tragic. I would never do that.
Well, maybe we'll see.
I've gone to a couple paint classes, though.
Okay.
And like the where you follow the person who's teaching you how to paint. And that's like, my paintings actually didn't look terrible, but... If I was to try to draw one from scratch, it would probably be bad.
Yeah, drawing's hard. I don't know what it is about it, but...
Yeah.
What's your favorite show that you've ever played?
So, the last show that I played before I took a break from performing live and all that stuff was at Smoke and Spurs Festival. It was a country music festival up in Powassan, Ontario, which is kind of near North Bay. And I opened up for Bobby Wills and Wes Mack and Leah Daniels. It was just like a small festival, but opening up for them and getting to see them play after me and getting to hang out with them backstage and kind of getting to have those chats with them was really fun. And we also got our own trailer, which I had never had my own trailer or my own rider before.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So me and the band were all really happy about that. And
what'd you put on the rider?
So much fun.
What'd you put on the rider?
I don't really think I put anything. Like I wasn't gonna be like, I want a sushi tray and all this stuff.
You didn't want to just take advantage of it all and just like soak it all in?
No. No, I think I just put like what we needed for equipment and whatever else. And then they did like give us a cooler full of beer and some food and stuff.
Probably, that was probably the right call. Probably the right call.
Yeah. I mean, I was just the opener, so I'm sure Bobby Wills had a long rider list.
Yeah, someday you'll get the sushi tray, though.
Yeah, that'll be online, for sure.
Yeah. So what's playing on your Spotify right now, if you were going to open that up, or Apple Music? I don't know what you use.
Okay, funny enough. It's just going to be so random. So I have this song on here right now called... it's called Kia Bata. by Harry Sandhu, and it is a Indian Dosi song. Because I've been learning Punjabi, which is an Indian language.
Oh, cool! Yeah.
So I've been listening to a lot of Punjabi music.
What inspired that? What made you want to learn it?
Well, I was kind of working with a lot of Indians. On the side, I work in experiential marketing, so I was working at some colleges, and there's a lot of international students. So I was around a lot of them, and they were all speaking Punjabi and the other 50 languages they have in India. and I don't know, I just fell in love with their culture and their language and their food, and the people are so nice. So I wanted to start learning a language, and I only know English and a little bit of French, so I thought it would only benefit me to know other languages. So I started learning, and then I've actually been posting what I've been learning on TikTok.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And it's been getting a lot of attention.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, there's some cool stuff in the works with that.
Yeah, would you ever record a Punjabi song?
We might be doing that.
Ooh,
so,
that'd be cool.
We'll have to see, yeah. There's some stuff that's coming that's never really been done before, I don't think, so I don't want to say too much, but
sure, yeah.
Cool.
That's very exciting. No, I'm not a huge fan of TikTok, but I know that it can be a great platform to build fan bases and stuff, so.
Yeah, it's been cool kind of exploring a new market and, like, seeing all of that side of that stuff.
Yeah, totally. So, other than, like, music or Driftwood Art, what's been the main thing that you've been doing during, like, quarantine and everything?
Laying outside in the sun and going on the boat. I enjoy water sports a lot, so we've been doing a lot of swimming and water skiing and tubing. It's been nice, really nice being up here, especially because my parents live on the lake, so there's a lot to do. We don't necessarily have to go and be around people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been vlogging as well a lot on YouTube and taking Punjabi lessons twice a week.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It is a really good time because, like, I know me personally, I didn't think that I would ever, I could spend this much time around my parents at once, but it's been nice to do that.
Yeah, it has been.
So that's Sarah Wickett. She's got some great stuff on tap. You know, you hear her mention some stuff that hasn't been done really before. The Punjabi lessons, maybe a Punjabi song. I mean, that's super exciting. I love, you know, to see artists who aren't afraid to step out, you know, kind of like Sophia Scott a couple weeks ago. Not afraid of being labeled pop country. I don't think Sarah's in, you know, I don't think Sarah would be labeled pop country, but certainly a Punjabi song is not, you know, traditional country music. But I don't see why. You know, if it's what you want to make, then by all means, go for it. And I think that it sounds like this next EP could be really cool and very, very innovative. So definitely looking forward to it. Stay tuned to Up in Country on Twitter. Have you updated with any updates on that when it's going to come out in January? So, yeah, she got a new song she mentioned coming up next month. That should be pretty exciting as well. And, yeah, I'm just thrilled that I was able to have her on. I think that she is probably one of the brightest stars out of Canada right now. And, you know, hop on the bandwagon because once it picks up steam, it is going to be going fast. You know, I don't know if she'll end up in Nashville. She mentioned that's probably where everyone wants to end up eventually. So we'll see if that happens. But for the time being, just writing music on Zoom and getting ready for that EP. So that's all that you can do. And I think that she has a great career ahead of her. So again, that's Sarah Wickett. I'm Ike Everard, and you've been listening to Up in Country.
For more, make sure to check out Up in Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make sure to keep that.